You're listening to the Blue Ridge True Crime Podcast, bringing you compelling true crime stories from the Appalachian Mountains and beyond. I'm your host, Alfred Dockery. Grab your hat and the lantern, and let's get on the trail. We're switching things up today. This episode isn't our typical true crime story. I'm bringing you a front row review of a live event I caught this week in Spartanburg, Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond. Plus, it won't just be my thoughts on his presentation. I reached out to Dr. Bond and he generously agreed to let me use some audio clips from the show's question and answer session for this episode. So stick around to hear from the man himself. Dr. Bond is a criminologist, best-selling author, and speaker. In Act 1 of his presentation, he shares his experiences and insights into the psychology of serial killers. Act 2 is a question and answer session in which Bond responds to audience members' questions. He's a powerful presenter who can convey technical information in an entertaining fashion and interject a bit of dark humor to lighten what can be a gruesome and frightening subject. Here's a sample.
So, welcome to what I like to call the good news portion of the show. Because serial killers are extremely rare, folks. Less than 1% of all homicides every year are attributable to serial killers. And your likelihood of becoming the victim of one, even more good news. Because, remember when I compared serial killers to sharks during the first act? I've done the math, and it turns out, statistically, the likelihood of becoming the victim of either a serial killer or a great white shark are very, very similar. And in most cases, it's more than 100 million to one. 100 million to one. Isn't that pretty good news? I think that's great news, right? For Monday night, right? That's good news. Now, if you really want to feel good about the hard-earned money that you spent here this evening to come and see me, consider this. You are actually twice as likely to be killed by a soft drink vending machine collapsing on top of you and crushing you than you are to become the victim of a serial killer. I kid you not. You can look it up.
I will be applying the explicit tag to this podcast due to the mature subject matter and Bond's sometimes salty language, which, given the subject matter, seems reasonable and appropriate. I'll also put links to Dr. Bond's website, which has his tour dates, and a link to his book, Why We Love Serial Killers, in the show notes for you. In Act 1, Bond explores the types of serial killers, discusses the psychology that drives them, and debunks several serial killer myths. He also explains the difference between psychopaths and sociopaths, noting that individuals with these antisocial personality disorders make up about 80% of serial killers. Through case studies, Bond illustrates three types of serial killer. The case studies were Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, who was a psychopathic power and control killer who planned meticulously, craved notoriety, and used autoerotic fantasy to delay or space out his murders. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, was a visionary killer who believed Satan commanded him. He later reinvented himself in prison as a Christian evangelist. Richard Ramirez, the night stalker, was a sociopathic thrill killer who murdered in frenzies, attracted groupies, and embraced a nihilistic philosophy. Bond also demonstrated his profiling process by detailing how he constructed a psychological and behavioral profile for the then-unknown Gilco Beach serial killer. This profile matched the man later arrested and charged, Rex Uhrman, who is scheduled to stand trial this fall for 7 murders. Note that Uhrman has been charged, but not yet convicted of a crime. Bond also shared 2 artifacts from his experiences with serial killers, a tiny painting of flowers sent to him by Dennis Rader, and a Polaroid of him with David Berkowitz taken after a somewhat surreal prison interview. Both items have fascinating stories behind them. This brings us to the question and answer segment. I'll read each question and then add Dr. Bond's response. Is the show Criminal Minds accurate?
It's fun, it's entertaining, it's based on reality, but it's what we call reductionism. They're taking facts, they're taking actual information, aspects of the job, and they're putting it into a entertaining 60-minute formula that can be solved with commercial interruptions. And it just doesn't work that way. I have a friend, a homicide detective in New York, who sent a cigarette butt in for DNA analysis. That was a year ago. He's still waiting for results. Things don't happen nicely, you know, in 60 minutes. So is it based on reality? Yes, it is. But it is dramatically boiled down, if you will, to make it interesting and fit within that format. The best thing, if you want the closest to reality, then I would suggest Mindhunter on Netflix.
With Ed Gein being such a hot topic these days, where would he fall in your killer profile types? Some quick background: Edward Theodore Gein, known as the Butcher of Plainfield, was a serial killer and grave robber from Wisconsin whose crimes were discovered in 1957. He created macabre trophies and artifacts from his victims' remains. He's the subject of a recent 8-part series on Netflix.
If you remember, I started out the evening by saying that approximately 80% of serial killers are either psychopaths or sociopaths, but I never really addressed the remaining 20%, and that is where you would find Ed Gein. And it's that group, that 20%, that I like to refer to as BSC, or batshit crazy. Batshit crazy. There is a small percentage, 20% of serial killers, who are truly, clinically, scientifically, mentally ill. I believe that Gein was a paranoid schizophrenic, and delusions. These individuals can't control themselves. They can't control their own reality. Their reality is a delusion. And they can be difficult to apprehend because they're so erratic, whereas the psychopathic and sociopathic counterparts are difficult to apprehend because they're so meticulous and they tend not to make many mistakes. They don't leave a lot of evidence. But yeah, Ed Gein would fall into that 20% that would be truly clinically mentally ill and also legally mentally ill, which is why he ended up in an institution for the criminally insane.
Why are there so few female serial killers?
If you go and you look at the crime statistics that go all the way back to the 1930s when the FBI was created and they started collecting this information, you will see that consistently every year, 90% of homicides are committed by men, 10% are committed by women. But I'm talking about all homicides now. Interestingly, if you look at that tiny subset of serial killers, you see an interesting phenomenon. It's not 90-10, it's more like 80-20, 85-15. So proportionately, there are more female serial killers, females among the serial killers than among the general murderers. So what does that tell us? To me, it says that not many women kill, but when they do, they're damn good at it. I looked at the average victim count. The average victim count for male serial killers is 5. For female serial killers, it's 7.5. I don't know who that 0.5 victim is, but 7.5, it means they're even more prolific than men. Female serial killers kill for different reasons than male serial killers, and they use different methods. The number one reason that male serial killers kill is power, control, and domination. And the number one reason that female serial killers do what they do, you know what the number one motive is? Revenge? No. Money! Profit! That's right! They kill for money! And when female serial killers kill, they don't kill in messy ways like men. Men stab, they shoot, they strangle, they make a mess.
You know what women do?
Poison, yes. And they smother. Smother and poison. Doesn't leave a mess. Which is maybe why they're awfully difficult to catch and apprehend. They just kill in different ways and for different reasons.
It's been said that serial killers secretly want to get caught. Is that true?
Bullshit! Scientifically stated, bullshit! No, they do not want to get caught. They want to do it again and again and again, and they want to get better at it. And if anything, it escalates and escalates, and it gets more exciting and more, 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 more. It's more like it's almost like a drug addiction. What happens is, sooner or later, they make a dumbass mistake. That's usually what happens. You know, they make a mistake. I told you about Richard Ramirez. Took the glove off, left a bloody, bloody fingerprint, left a shoe impression. He made a mistake. Did he want to get caught? Hell no. He just made a mistake.
Is it true that Hannibal Lecter, in The Silence of the Lambs, is a composite of several serial killers?
Yes, that is true. There has never been a Hannibal Lecter serial killer, a evil genius. You know, creative reasons and for pure entertainment, they created this like super predator. You know, he's like this evil genius cannibal. What's scarier than that? What else could we have given this guy except some sort of superpowers? But that's why he's so damn scary. And of course, portrayed by one of the greatest actors in the last 50 years, Anthony Hopkins. It was just chilling and memorable. But the answer to your question is no, there never was a Hannibal Lecter. He is a composite of several different serial killers. And the cannibalism aspect of it ended up being so timely. Because I don't know if, for those of you who remember the 90s, the film Silence of the Lambs was released in January of 1991. Fictional cannibal serial killer. Do you know what happened in July of 1991? Jeffrey Dahmer was arrested. Real life cannibal. And so you have Silence of the Lambs still playing in the theaters at the same time that Dahmer was caught.
What rating do I give serial killers with Dr. Scott Bond? Dr. Bond is a masterful presenter and a seasoned public speaker with a powerful command of this subject. On the Blue Ridge True Crime Hatchet rating system, I give him 5 out of 5 hatchets. Highly recommended. If you're within reasonable driving distance of one of his shows, have an interest in the subject of serial killers, and can handle the dark nature of the subject matter, by all means go. You'll be glad you did. That's it for this episode of the Blue Ridge True Crime Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps more people find the show. Check the show notes for links to the Blue Ridge True Crime Substack and YouTube channel, and any story-related links. Until next time, I'll look for you on the back roads.